It's Monday, so that means it's time for a great trip report where we're going to talk about awesome Walt Disney World resorts, fun dining experiences, and great memories in the parks. But first, a word from our sponsors. We're sponsored today by the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, softcover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by TouringPlans.com. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Their trip planning tools show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save money on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. When you pick up a premium subscription to TouringPlans.com, it's a little insurance policy against the crowds because it's going to give you the information you need to navigate the parks and get around the big crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible in the least amount of time. Support the folks who support us and make your next vacation awesome. Check them out today over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1144 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Thanks for checking in, starting off another week here in mid-March with the Be Our Guest Podcast. Of course, when you come here on a Monday, you come expecting a trip report, and that's what we're going to have today. We're going to have a great time talking Disney about a couple of trips and, going a special time of the year and just having some great time. So joining me, we actually have a fellow podcaster from the north up there in Canada, up in Ontario. It's my good friend Julius from Storybook Radio. How's it going, Julius?
It's going very well up here. How's it going with you down there?
Hey, it's not too bad. You know, baseball season. I know you're a baseball fan as well, but, it kicks off in a couple of weeks. So, it's right around the corner. I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. The words pitchers and catchers report are the magical words for winter for me. So it's definitely great now that spring training's kicked off.
Absolutely. So before we get talking about your trips and, we're going to talk about some fall trips, free dining, and those rumors are out there again for this year. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But tell us about your podcast, because people might want to check that out. I know podcast fans like checking out new shows. So what do you got going?
I'm just recording episode 70 this coming Saturday. Usually I record on Saturdays and it releases on Sundays. There's kind of a mix of different things. I'll do a few episodes on history of various Disney hotels, attractions, restaurants, that kind of thing. I've done some interviews as well with people like Jim Hill, Len Testa, Seth Kaberski from Touring Plans. As well. So those were some really fun episodes to do. And every once in a while, I've got a friend of mine, Mike, will come on with me and we'll, maybe do like some dueling top 10 lists or, kind of talk about some silly things when it comes to the theme parks. We recently did an episode, for example, on the top 10 Star Wars spinoffs that we would like to see. So, that kind of went from, serious discussion to silly discussion over the course of an hour or so. So it's just a kind of a wide variety of things, just anything that kind of tickles my fancy when it comes to Disney is what'll come out on the podcast. So,
all right. Well, sounds great because, I'm a podcast fan first and I love checking out new shows. So I'll be tuning in and checking you guys out. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will as well. So awesome. Thanks for putting out the content. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk about your trips, you know, and you haven't had one like really recently, but we're going to go back a few years and talk about, because, you know, the resorts stay the same, attractions, restaurants pretty much. But one of the things I wanted to lead off with is that you actually drove down from Ontario, which kind of surprised me, but I know a lot of folks do it, you know, from great distances. I used to. It was about a 15-hour drive. So tell us about the time you drove down, you know, all the way, because you made a lot of stops at kind of tourist places within the United States.
Did, yeah. So our entire vacation was actually about 2 weeks long. I think that we started on September 1st and we got back home on like the 15th or something like that. We actually, my wife and I are huge baseball fans and huge Disney fans as well. So we wanted to kind of fit all of that into our vacation. So we kicked off it. According to Google Maps, it should take you about 22 hours or so if you were to do it in a straight shot. But we actually got there on the fourth day of our trip. So the first day we got to Cincinnati and we took in a baseball game at Great American Ballpark. They were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. And then after that, we got in the car, crossed the bridge, and we ended up staying in Nashville that second night. We checked out. There's a huge mall down there where the Grand Ole Opry is on those mall's grounds. So we took a few pictures of the Opry as well, which is pretty cool. And then the day after that, we got up and headed over to Lynchburg, Tennessee, population 361, a dry county, where we checked out the Jack Daniel Distillery and did a tour of the distillery grounds, which was really neat. I do enjoy Jack Daniel's, more of a beer guy, but that was a really, really fun experience, just being down there in that particular place, especially it being a dry county, and just being able to take in all the history of that particular distillery. The day after that, that same day, we then made our way south to Atlanta, where we took in a game at Turner Field. So of course, now we're going to have to get down to Atlanta again to see the new ballpark that's opening this year. Yeah, caught a baseball game there. And then the day after that was when we finally made it to Orlando, to Disney World, and we got there just in time for our Tokyo dining reservation that day. I remember there's a bit of traffic heading into the Orlando area, and so we got there with, you know, maybe about 15 minutes or so to spare, you know, just kind of power walking through Epcot.
So that's awesome, though, because you made, again, you know, we talk about this on the podcast from time to time, that, you know, really the journey's a part of the trip, you know, getting there. For me, now that I've, you know, gotten back into flying, I really enjoy that part of it, seeing the world from a different perspective. But you had, you know, kind of a daily destination, and it sounds like, yeah, because I think I kind of get a little antsy to get down to Walt Disney World because I love it so much. But, you know, you're a baseball fan and you got to explore some places that you might not have seen otherwise. So I really like that idea. So is it something you'd recommend to other folks thinking about this?
Definitely would. So we had a book with us as well called Long Interstate 75, which really helped us on the way down there. There were like some restaurant recommendations in it, and just a lot of really great recommendations. Like, for example, if you were in an RV and you were, you know, just all you had to do in your life was just kind of drive around and take everything in, there's so many things that you can see. And even if you went, drove along the I-95, which is actually what the very first time I went to Walt Disney World when I was 12 years old, that's what we did. We packed up the family van and headed down the I-95. There's a lot of Civil War battle sites that you can check out, and just a lot of great things to see along the way. That's actually one of my favorite things of American culture, is that like road trip culture that exists there because of the interstate system. I think it's wonderful. So it's just, you know, really neat being able to just to take everything in, take all the scenery in. But you're right, though. You kind of need to have that that focus and that that target at the end of every day that, you know, kind of gets you going. Because I remember one thing that happened, because the flight from Orlando for us, like in the actual plane, is about 2.5 to 3 hours, depending on like winds and that kind of thing. And that's how long it took us to get to just to the border in Windsor, Ontario, where it meets the border with Detroit. So that's kind of the only thing where you're like, okay, well, we would have been there by now if we had flown. But no, like seeing everything along the way definitely made it worthwhile. So I would recommend doing it at least once. Now that I have a kid, I just, based on all of the luggage and everything that you have with a kid, I think that we'll probably have driving in our future once more the next time that we go down there. But it both has its advantages for sure.
Nice. Yeah, my wife used to use that line on me all the time. Now, it wasn't when we were driving down to Walt Disney World, it was when we were driving home that before we would hit the Florida Georgia state line on the way back, she'd say, you know, if we flew, we'd already be home. So she was right, sure. Too. Exactly. It was about 3 hours. So yeah, not bad. I'm glad I have the option to do both now. I'm really excited about that. So all right, so let's hop into some of your stays. And one of the stays you stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter. Again, the smallest Walt Disney World resort, but it's highly recommended because of its size. You know, you think of large might be the best, but you know, in my opinion, I think French Quarter really fits a niche because some people don't, maybe they have mobility issues or maybe you just don't want to be overwhelmed. So what do you recall for some of the highlights of French Quarter?
One of the biggest things for us was that we were actually staying in, I believe it was Building 7, which is supposedly, I believe, the most far-flung or second most far-flung building from the main building. And it would take us a couple of minutes, like 5 minutes to walk from our hotel room to the bus stop, which like to me, like I was thinking to myself, oh, we're going to have like, you know, a bit of a hike, but, and we never had that. So we were able to get to our buses really quickly every time and get to the main building as well. I really liked the food court area that was in there, the Sasagula Floatworks area. I thought had some really great food. And of course they have the beignets there as well, which quickly became one of my favorite Walt Disney World desserts ever. And yeah, just the ease of walking around that particular resort. We also had, I believe it was a courtyard view, but I mean, it appeared as if there were no bad views from anywhere in the resort. Like we walked around a little bit and there was so much greenery, a lot of palm trees everywhere. The pool was really cool as well for it being, you know, kind of a smaller pool. And then of course there's the Sasagula River, right in behind the resort as well. It was just, it was beautiful all the way around pretty much. And it's definitely my favorite moderate that I've stayed in. And I would definitely stay there again and recommend it as well. It was a very quiet resort too, which I liked, which I haven't quite experienced at every other resort that I've stayed at in Disney World. So I thought that the sound dampening and things like that were really good there. So it definitely allowed for, you know, nice restful nights as well when we returned to the hotel. So.
Now, let me ask you this. So when it comes time to planning that vacation down to Walt Disney World, we all have our reasons as to why, you know, I want to go to Coronado Springs or I want to stay at Riverside this trip or, you know, maybe splurge and go to Boardwalk for Marathon Weekend. What are your factors that you're looking for typically? Of course, economics comes into play for every trip. I mean, that's probably the biggest driver for most people. It is for me. Yeah. But what other things do you consider? Because there's so many options and you landed at French Quarter. You know, why French Quarter?
In that particular case, I think it was just based on recommendations. Like, you know, we've picked up the unofficial guide every year. And so just reading a lot of the reader reviews and recommendations in that particular guide has been pretty helpful as well. But I think it was just for that particular trip, we were a little bit more cost conscious when it came to our accommodations. So that was why we went to the moderate category. Actually, for a trip before that, we had actually booked Coronado Springs, and then we ended up getting a free upgrade to Animal Kingdom Lodge. So that ended up still being our first experience in a moderate resort. But some of the reasons that we picked it were because it was a smaller resort. It was actually the reason that we went with French Quarter over Riverside. It was because it was about half the size. We read that it only had one bus stop, which of course is true, and definitely made getting back and forth from the resort a lot easier because of that single bus stop. So there's just a few things like that. But our kind of methodology for looking at different resorts has evolved over time. We ended up staying in Coronado for the trip after our French Quarter trip. But then the trip after that, because we were going down there for food and wine, we wanted to be within walking distance. And that definitely played into it a little bit more. But yeah, like it, for us, we're pretty open with the resort that we're staying at. If we kind of have a reason for wanting to stay a little closer, we might pick a different resort. But for that trip, it was kind of that combination of it being a small resort and a little bit more cost effective for what we were looking for.
All right, fair enough. Because I like talking resorts because really that's your biggest concern when it comes to planning a Disney vacation. You know, Disney dining plans always the same. You know, your tickets are going to be the same no matter where you stay. Yeah. But where you stay is going to, you know, it's going to be the memories you make. It's your theme. It's your, you know, geography. Are you going to be close to this park or that park? And, you know, what kind of size room do you have and so forth? So let's kind of hop into, because you did a split stay on a trip after this, and you started off at movies, but ended up at beach club. So you went from a value to a deluxe. Yeah. And it sounds like, again, you were down there for food and wine festival time in October. So tell us about the logistics of that stay. What was it like going from a value to beach club?
It was a huge difference. I really enjoyed it. I remember joking to my wife that I wouldn't be able to do it the other way around.
No.
that was for sure. But that was actually our first experience with a value. Essentially what happened was it was kind of a last minute decision. We were going to take a later flight into Orlando, and we were actually going to stay at the MCO airport hotel for a night, and then basically get an early start the next day, you know, take the Magical Express in the morning and kind of get our day started that way. But then we thought to ourselves, well, the MCO hotel is like $150 or $180 a night or something like that. Why don't we just do an additional day at Disney? We don't have to necessarily buy any more park tickets. Like, that can be our downtown Disney day. And I say downtown Disney because it was still called that at the time. It became Disney Springs, I think, 2 days after we left. we just missed it. So we decided, hey, you know, why not just stay on Disney property instead? We'll get an extra couple of nights out of it, essentially pay almost the same amount of money, but be at Disney and experience a new type of resort and a different resort for us. So we were actually looking to do one of the other value resorts, like Pop Century was where we really wanted to stay, but there was only availability at All-Star Movies. So that's where we were, and we requested the Toy Story area. So we stayed there. And we enjoyed it overall. If you want to stay in a resort that really kind of, like, you know, vomits Disney almost, that's really one of the places to stay. And I really liked walking the resort grounds and just seeing, like, the Mighty Ducks area, because that was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. I remember watching it at, like, my 10th birthday party or something like that with a bunch of friends, and, you know, cheering on every time they scored a goal, you know, against Iceland and apparently a hockey power. So it was a really fun experience walking around that particular resort. And Toy Story is one of my favorite Disney movies as well, so it really resonated that way as well. It was a little noisy. Like, I remember being able to hear conversations from the people in the room next to us, as well. So, we're kind of light sleepers, especially in a new place. So, that kind of detracted from it a little bit. But like, if we were, you know, on a budget and wanted to stay, somewhere where it was just kind of a place to put down your head for the night and everything, like, I would definitely revisit the value category, but I'd probably want to stay somewhere new, like Pop Century. Going to the deluxe was was a really cool change. We hadn't stayed in a deluxe since we were at Animal Kingdom Lodge about 3 years before that, and we picked Beach Club because of the theming, the pool, and the walking distance to Epcot. Those were basically the main things that we wanted out of that particular trip. And we did do free dining again. We've heard a lot of commentary from people on, like, different podcasts and blogs and that kind of thing, that you shouldn't do free dining if you are fewer than three people at a deluxe resort. But we did the math right down to, like, to the last dollar, and we found that we were coming about $100 ahead if we did free dining rather than the room discount at the time. So we kind of jumped all over that because we knew we'd be able to use our snack credits at Food and Wine as well. Honestly, though, like, Beach Club has become my favorite resort on property so far, and I would definitely never hesitate to stay there again. So,
yeah, you can't beat the location. Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk. You know, I'm really, you know, I was one of those people that, if I'm going to stay at a deluxe, I'm going to do Animal Kingdom Lodge or Wilderness Lodge, which is more our budget. I don't want to get into liking the Beach Club and the Boardwalk and all that too much, because it's a little bit stretching what our means. But, you know, it's always fun to stay there for a few nights on a split, which is always a good idea. But you mentioned free dining, and of course, I don't know if people know this, but there's a lot of offers that Disney puts out there, and a lot of times there might be a Canadian free dining offer versus the United States free dining offer. And sometimes, you know, there's offers for different geographical regions. So somebody might jump in and say, I didn't know it was offered then. Well, it might not have been offered then here in the States, you know, when it could have been in Canada. But you did the math, and I think that is so important that you said that, because people need to think those things through and get down to what are our eating habits like? You know, is it more food than we typically eat? Are we going to be gorging ourselves? And because seriously, I've seen people, and I've done this to myself, to be honest, that I'll eat more than I need to eat and then I'll feel miserable the rest of the night. But if you're going down there and you want to explore the food and wine festival booths and use your snack credits, you can come out ahead. So you guys felt like it was a good value for you and you crunched the numbers yourselves.
Yeah, for us, it was a good value, I think, partially because of the restaurants that we go to as well. So we've done free dining actually 3 times. And we always go to kind of the higher end single credit restaurants. But we haven't hesitated to do the double credit restaurants either, like Le Cellier or California Grill, because we figure, you know, we're still spending like $50 a person. So that way it actually still does work out when we do the math and figure out exactly like what restaurants we're going to do beforehand and everything. Like Ohana is a great value for free dining, and Beer Garden and Boma as well, because they are at a higher price point.
Yep.
And a few of the other single credit restaurants. So for free dining, like for us, it was, it made perfect sense, and not, you know, not having to worry about what we were ordering off the menu and that kind of thing. But it definitely made sense because of food and wine, and because of being able to use your snack credits at the food and wine booths, because some of those snacks or like the food and wine offerings are, you know, $5, $6, $7. So it definitely works out for snack credits. And I think snack credits are the main reason why a lot of people kind of shy away from free dining. Which there's so many places to use them aside from just all the snack carts and everything like that on property. Like you can also go to Starbucks and get yourself a $7 latte, you know, and use a snack credit on it. Unless that's changed in the last couple of years, but I don't think it has. We definitely made use of all of our credits and so it really worked out well for us. But it definitely depends on how much you figure you're going to eat, what kind of restaurants you're going to go to, in order to make it work. So,
yeah. And I think that's how the Disney dining plan works for Disney as a company, because, you know, if you think about it, a lot of folks are not going to listen to podcasts, pick up the unofficial guide, you know, to, you know, probably mm-hmm. 80 to 90% of the folks who go down there, go in blind. And I bet you a good half of them leave the end of their vacation and they have not used all their entitlements. And so Disney comes out ahead there. And plus, if you're not using them in an advantageous way, which, you know, it's just smart because it's your money you're paying for. I mean, even though it's mm-hmm. a free dining package, you're paying for the package. So you want to get the best value. And it sounds like you really did. And, but, you know, I like that you don't box yourself in with the rules like, oh, I can't go to a signature if I'm on the dining plan. You know, you just think about it. I want that experience. And one of those things you mentioned in your notes was that y'all celebrated your anniversary at California Grill. And I know Pam is a huge advocate of this restaurant. She loves it. It's her favorite at Walt Disney World. So give us your perspective on that meal at California Grill.
I absolutely loved California Grill. So that was it's definitely one of my favorite meals that I've ever had on property. So I got this is something that I ordered this meal because we were on the free dining plan, and I probably wouldn't have paid for it if I had to pay out of pocket. But I got the Wagyu beef steak, medium rare. That's the best way to eat that steak. And I can't remember what my wife got. I think it was like a California roll or some kind of sushi platter or something. It was one of the best meals that I've had. And for the longest time, I always thought that the Le Cellier filet mignon was the best steak that I've ever had in my life. And I think that the Wagyu beef just topped it a little bit. Like it was so perfectly cooked and everything. So I really enjoyed it from that perspective. It was, and you know, to be honest, it was nice to do that experience as well, because California Grill is one of those restaurants that has kind of a dress code. Like it doesn't seem as if they kick you out if you're wearing like a tank top or something like that. Like I know I definitely saw some people that they gave collared shirts to put on top of their tank tops, but it was nice to, you know, dress up a little bit, you know, like dress a little fancier than you might for, you know, a day of power walking through the parks when it's 100 degrees out. So it was nice to have that as well. And the fact that it was for our anniversary, we've actually celebrated 3 of our anniversaries in the Disney park. So it's always a special time. for us. And we did have a window seat, so we were able to look right out onto Magic Kingdom, which was a really special experience. And just seeing how much larger Space Mountain is than Cinderella's Castle because of that forced perspective from sitting up there was really cool. And then taking in wishes from the balcony as well at the end. Just, it was a really magical night, so...
Yeah, it's more of a, you know, it reminds me almost of something I've done on a cruise line, you know, because you have a great meal. That's mm-hmm. to be expected. You're going to a fine dining establishment, but you have that plus of the location. You're at the top of the Contemporary. You're looking over the Magic Kingdom at night. And like you said, it's nice to have a place where you get to kind of play the grown up for a night, you know, like it's, you know, you have to kind of look nice and there's more of an upscale atmosphere. And I like, you know, that's why when I go on a cruise, I enjoy if there's a, you know, formal night or some kind of a semi-formal night, because even though I'm a guy who wears jeans and t-shirts and, you know, polo shirts to teach in every day, it's kind of fun just every once in a while to have a reason to celebrate, you know, and I think that's, you really summed it up with California Grill there.
Yeah, for sure. It was, it is definitely a place that I will eat in again if you know, budget and timing and everything allows for it. I've got a 7-month-old now at home, so I'm not quite sure if that's an experience that we'll be able to have with him for a few years yet. But especially, yeah, being able to celebrate like when you have kind of a special occasion to celebrate, and it was really great. They actually brought us a creme brulee as well for, you know, kind of like a on the house for your anniversary dessert. And so it had like this big kind of flat piece of chocolate on it that said congratulations. So like they really do things like that really well in that resort. And so it was a really wonderful experience that I would definitely recommend to anybody.
All right, so let's talk about one more meal, then we'll hit the park, you know, just some memories from the parks real quick here as we close it out. But you guys did one of the things that I think everybody wants to do at some point during a Disney vacation. You guys had breakfast at Be Our Guest before park mm-hmm. opening, so you got to be in the Magic yeah. Kingdom before the crowds emerged and came out for the day. So what's that like, and was it what you were expecting?
It was awesome, yeah, and it was definitely what we were expecting. So we're actually, I guess we kind of consider ourselves Be Our Guest veterans by now. Like we've been there, that was our fourth time, I think, at Be Our Guest. There was one trip where we did it twice and like, you know, lined up for it and everything. So we've eaten in, I think, pretty much every part of that restaurant. And we just really like the experience for it being like a quick service restaurant. It's really fast. It's priced reasonably well too. And you know, just being able to take in all of the scenery and everything from like one of our favorite Disney movies for both my wife and I was really cool. So we kind of wanted to plus our experience there a little bit. And that was why we booked the breakfast reservation there, because not only could we eat in a restaurant that we really enjoyed, but we'd be able to get into the park before anybody else did. So we had about, I would say, 20-25 minutes of the park being pretty much deserted, except for the other people coming in for breakfast reservations as well. So we actually hung back a little bit when we first got into the park, because I was actually surprised at how many people I guess it was people that really wanted to get a picture with the castle without a lot of people around. So everyone kind of rushed for the castle, and we just kind of hung back on Main Street and just took in a lot of the little details and nuance and things like that. Because that's one of my favorite things about touring the parks, is just all of the little Easter eggs and everything that are in there, and just the sheer amount of detail that Imagineers have put into the parks. So we hung back. We checked everything out. We walked pretty slowly up Main Street. By the time we got to the castle, there was nobody there anyways. So we were able to get a few pictures with just us in it, which was really cool. And then, yeah, we made our way over to Be Our Guest and ate a really good breakfast. I had the cronut breakfast, which was awesome. And then, of course, they give you platters of little pastries and things like that that are pretty good, too. And what was even better after that experience was we basically had the run of Fantasyland at that point. So we actually just jumped right onto Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, did that without a wait, which is pretty much unheard of even now, a couple years after it's opened. And then we checked out Peter Pan's Flight, first time we've ever done it without a fast pass. So we were able to go through the whole new updated queue, which was amazing. And again, probably something that we wouldn't do if there was a 45 minute or hour long wait or something like that. And then after that, jumped back onto Mine Train. So it was definitely a great experience for, I think it was a $20 breakfast as well. So, you know, the fact that they were later trying to sell packages, I think, for $70 or $80 to get in to the park before opening, which is what they were doing last year, I thought it was a really great value.
Yeah, it's a good thing, you know, because one of those things is, again, it's doing your homework. It's thinking the what do you want to get out of your vacation, where you're going to pay for breakfast anyway. And what you did was you just used what you knew, and you got in the park for free early and got to have breakfast. And, you know, it sets up your whole day. It sounds like you guys, you know, because once you get that jump on the crowds, like you said, you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, oh, Peter Pan with no fast pass. You're just like, man, I'm like already, you know, I'm 10 steps ahead of everybody coming through the gates later on in the day. And it really does kind of set the tone for that whole day.
Yeah, exactly. And then like later on in the day, we didn't feel pressured to head back into Fantasyland to do some of those rides. So we were able to, you know, knock out at a leisurely pace and, you know, really kind of touring the parks. We were able to check out a lot of our other favorite things like Haunted Mansion and Space Mountain. I think we did Jungle Cruise for a second time that day. Just a few things like that. Things that we might not have been able to have time for if we had been standing in lines. And that was even a day, because we ended up using our fast passes, I think, by lunchtime. I believe that was the day that we were able to get a last minute fast pass from the kiosk for Princess Fairy Tale Hall to meet Anna and Elsa, which is something that, like, you know, we did like Frozen, but we're not, like, you know, the rabid Frozen fans or anything like that. So it wasn't one of those fast passes that we would have booked normally, but the fact that it was just basically popping up there for us to take, you know, was an experience that we got to do that we normally wouldn't have done. So that made it even more special as well. It was just one of those days where you're constantly being rewarded, basically, for kind of starting it off on the right foot. So,
yeah, for those listeners that are new, and I know we have a lot of new listeners here in the last year or so, what Julius is speaking of is that Anna and Elsa used to meet in Fantasyland at the Magic Kingdom before they moved over to Epcot in Norway. And when they first were having their meet and greets, no kidding, the lines, you couldn't get a fast pass and the standby would be up to 4 hours. I mean, it was the longest line at Walt Disney World. And so when you mentioned that you got that fast pass at one of the kiosks, like, is just a, hey, this is available. You know, it's hard to understate that, because that was like golden back then.
Was, yeah. When we saw it come up, we're like, oh my God, Anna and Elsa. And then we're just like, you know, we should just do it. Like, we should. And yeah, it was fun. Like, you know, we got our pictures taken with them and everything, and had a little bit of, you know, chit chat and every, you know, the stuff that you do when you know when you meet these the wonderful characters that are in the parks. And yeah, so it was one of those things where I'm like, I'll never forget it. And you know, I'm glad that it was available, basically. So,
and that kind of gets me to my last point I want to ask you about. Now, you have a son, you know, and you're getting ready to go down as a whole different family dynamic now. But in these trips, it was just you and your wife. So what was that like? I mean, because you have more flexibility as traveling as just a couple. But like you said, you know, it doesn't preclude you from doing meet and greets or things like that. So what advice do you have for traveling just as a couple, for folks that are thinking about traveling without kids?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is, because I've met a few adult Disney fans like at my workplace and everything, and it's funny because a lot of the wives are really into it, and the husbands maybe not so much. They're kind of going down there as an obligation and whatever. My thought is, like, you kind of have to, you know, treat yourself as a kid when you're on those trips. Unless you're never planning on having kids or that kind of thing, like, you know, it's not going to be that way forever. And I've had a lot of adult Disney fans tell me, man, you're lucky that you got to go down, you know, with kids, like without kids. They really love taking their kids, obviously, because there's just so much magic that kind of gets, like transposed to them from, like, through their children's eyes. But I guess, you know, being able to, you know, do an entire day at the parks without worrying about, like, if your kid needs a nap or, like, you know, worrying about their dietary restrictions and things like that, not having to worry about, like, you know, changing them and, you know, going at your own pace, I think is something that that's definitely, it was definitely enjoyable. And not having to take strollers on the buses, that kind of thing, because I've seen people really struggle with some of those huge strollers on the public transportation at Disney. But I have to say, like, you know, I've really loved those trips and kind of the like everything that was involved with them, and kind of being able to do them the way that we did them. But I'm really looking forward to taking my son down there and kind of seeing it through his eyes too. And But I would suggest the biggest thing is don't just go for thrill rides. Like I'm a huge fan of Universal Studios as well, and I love doing the thrill rides and the roller coasters and everything. But one of the things that I love the most about Disney is just the storytelling aspect of it. So being able to go through the Haunted Mansion to me is a thrill, and you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, and being able to see a show like Fantasmic, and some of my favorite experiences have been meeting the characters as well, like my picture with Buzz Lightyear and Woody from Toy Story, with Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, and then of course we met the talking Mickey at Magic Kingdom on our last trip as well. Those are all memories that I'm never going to forget. And so, you know, whereas I might forget the 24th time I went on Tower of Terror, you know, so it's great to go for all of those different types of experiences and to just soak everything in as well, would be probably the biggest advice that I would give to adults that are going down there. Because if you don't have to worry about being responsible for other people, you have that opportunity to kind of take all the small details in a little bit more and kind of let everything soak in a little bit.
All right. Well, hey, this kind of leads me to my last question. And I think this one's going to be great for you because, you know, you get everything that Walt Disney World's about, the storytelling, the details, the memories that can be made there. So now that you're a new father and, you know, things are going to be changing, you kind of talked about this a second ago, but what are you looking forward to most with taking your child down there? Because I know you've seen all this stuff happen over the past, you know, 5-6 years. You know, what's that thing you're like, man, I cannot wait to do this when we go down next time?
I've actually thought about this before. There's three big things. I think the first time that he meets whatever his favorite character is at the time, I think is going to be a pretty cool moment. Another one is kind of holding him while Wishes is going. Well, I know it's not Wishes now, but whatever the fireworks show is going to be called when we head down there. That's another big one. But I'm also looking forward to, you know, taking him on an attraction like Haunted Mansion and kind of being able to maybe explain to him, you know, you shouldn't be scared because of this and because of what the story is and what, like, you know, actually everything that it entails. It's a fun, scary, that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to those types of moments with him. And then, you know, probably years from now, I'm looking forward to maybe when he wants to go on to a ride like Expedition Everest or Tower of Terror as well. So
that's good stuff. I can tell you, growing up with my two girls, boy, you know, it's one of those things. I have all those memories, and I'm telling you, you're going to have the time of your life again. You know, it's like everything's new again. It's really, really cool in that aspect. So, Julius, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing this with us today. It's been a lot of fun. Hey, where can people check you out? Again, your podcast and maybe where we can catch you online to talk a little Disney.
I do have a website for the podcast. It's called www.storybookradio.com. And on Twitter, I am at WDWStorybook, and the same handle for Instagram as well, WDWStorybook. And I can be found on Facebook at Storybook Radio.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. And I'll be tuning in. I really appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was a real treat to be on. I've listened to the show for a while now, a couple years, and I really enjoy it every time I hear it. So,
hey, we'll have to do it again when you take that sun down, and we'll talk about all those fun memories you made.
For sure. Thanks a lot.
All right. And go Jays.
Thank you. Go Jays.
All right. And don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. So drop by Amazon today. Pick up a good read. And this is a great one for a Disney fan. If you're tuned into a Disney podcast, Jeff Barnes wrote this book just for you because you're going to be inspired. You're going to take Walt's lessons and apply those to your life and think about, how can I plus what I'm doing in my business or in my teaching, in my perspective? Because Jeff Barnes, if you don't know, he's also an educator, works in a university setting. So, I can take a lot of these things that Walt left in Disneyland and apply that to make my teaching better and my interactions better with my students. You can do the same with your guests that you might be working with in your business. There's just so many ways, even in your family. How can you make your relationship stronger? And it is, there's a little checklist. I cannot recommend this book enough. So check it out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And you can also pick up a copy on Amazon as well. And of course, you know, when you're headed to a Disney destination, you need a touringplans.com premium subscription also for Universal. So you want to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on that next Disney vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. It's what I call a little insurance gets the crowds on your next Universal or Disney vacation. So again, touringplans.com. BeOurGuestMike.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group. We have lots of fans, over 5,000 fans talking Disney every day. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, if you're doing a little shopping this week, we appreciate it if you go through our Amazon link. It's over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. We get a little kickback to pay for the bandwidth and the hosting. And we'd really, really appreciate that. All right, well, time to let you cut loose here and get on with your week. It's time to get to work, I guess. So let's do that. So for Julius, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. It's time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.